Hey, how's it going? This is Josh from JustUsGeeks.com, and this is Extra Geeky number 2. What are we calling this one? What do we decide we're calling this one?
Nerds with Attitudes?
Nerds with Attitudes.
Oh, you're not going to introduce
it's
us?
No.
That's fine.
Yeah, boy!
Cool. All right.
What was that one from?
Nerds with Attitudes.
It's Tudes. It's plural.
Dudes.
What's the yeah boy from?
That's Grandmaster Flash, man.
Oh, yeah boy. No, that's...
No, it's not.
No, it's not. It's what's his name?
Flavor Flav.
The clock guy.
Yeah. The clockman.
It came to us at the exact same time.
Flavor Flav.
Yeah, boy.
So let me just say this. If you have not listened to episode 177 of the Just Us Geeks podcast, where we talk about 90s rap, go do so right now over at iTunes. You can find us over on iTunes. Just search Just Us Geeks Podcast. Hit the little subscribe button and download episode 177, 90s Rap.
Consult the experts.
Just listen to it there.
We talk about 90s rap.
And then you can come back and...
We're experts.
And talk to us here. Just a quick reminder, you should like us on Facebook, facebook.com/JustUsGeeks. Follow us on Twitter, @JustUsGeeks. Our RSS feed has also changed. This is, for the time being, really a website-exclusive thing, unless you found it on SoundCloud. So make sure you go like us and subscribe to us on iTunes, even if you have done so in the past. It's weird that James left.
Yeah, it is.
It kind of sucks for James that he had to leave because he did not see...
He didn't want to be spoiled by this historical movie.
He hasn't seen the movie all know the story to.
He can't read too well. We've already established that.
Yeah.
So,
and there hasn't been
He's
like
a visual learner. He'll get it.
There hasn't been like a History Channel docudrama about this.
No.
My dearest cube.
My dearest cube.
Someone,
we talked about this guy.
Someone should, yeah, we did. We talked quite a bit about Dre there. Someone should write a
Civil War style documentary of the NWA.
Still same OG, but a bit low. No, I'm not gonna do it. Not gonna do like what I did on episode 177 of the podcast.
I swear really loud,
but it's so fun to swear.
Swearing is fun. Which I guess is why rappers have such a great time.
Oh, man. You get it. You feel it with them, man.
As long as your swears are lyrical.
Yeah.
Genius.
They rhyme.
Which in Straight Outta Compton, it seemed to be that way.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about Straight Outta Compton, the movie. We hope that you've all gotten a chance to go check it out and see it. If you haven't, the internet is a thing, folks. I mean, you can find out what happened to these people.
I encourage you to go watch the movie.
Yeah.
Like, it's a really good film.
Let's just get into it. So, what were your initial thoughts on this, Logan? Like, when we got out of the film, we all kind of talked about it. Like, you know, we know that this is a biographical film about NWA, the guys from NWA in Compton, California in the late 80s, early 90s. So... aside from that, like, really, what are your first reactions to the film?
Well, I wasn't born for half this movie.
Right.
So, like, when I got out, I felt like this is going to sound really weird and like my history teachers would kill me, but I felt like I learned a lot from this movie.
Right.
About the culture and like that time period, especially for those guys who started this whole trend of hip hop and rap. And it was a good educational experience. I mean, of course, it's probably a lot of it's dramatized, things like that. But they did intercut with a lot of actual news footage. Current events at that time that were important to everything were shown and explained. So,
yeah.
It was really interesting to see all the stuff that was going on in that time. I like historical.
Yeah.
You know, movies. Like
it made
that.
Me kind of get. I think what I took from it was I like to see maybe some of the events that. Or maybe dramatized in a different way, but that helped, you know, really inspire some of these songs from NWA and these people, you know, to go on as artists in other ways.
And living where we do and being as young as we were at the time, or not even born yet.
Yeah.
It kind of gave
you... You were just a drop in the bottle of a beer bottle, buddy.
Yeah. And and listening to NWA, I'm sure, like, exposed people to a lifestyle and a way of life that they had not, they didn't know existed, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's just, it's crazy to think about.
Some people probably did know existed, but choose to not believe it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And then others just had no idea.
But they just, these guys just gave it to you straight and how it was. And
it was rough for those
and
dudes.
And it was rough. Yeah.
Jeez, man.
I mean, it's.
That's the thing that I took away from this movie the most, I think, is how freaking rough it was.
And it was still like, after they were making it, it was rough.
It's not easy.
Yeah, like.
They were still dealing with things that they were dealing with, you know, before they made it.
It's a very intense movie.
Yeah, it's really intense and it's very in your face and real and just
engaging. Well, it starts out right from the jump
with
like a drug bust.
Yeah.
In like a crack house. With a friggin' tank with a ram on the front that knocked a chick through a wall or into a wall.
It was ridiculous.
That's pretty awesome. But Easy.
I thought it was terrifying.
It was terrifying, but E somehow makes it out of that situation.
They saved his life.
Yeah, I mean, he somehow makes it out of that situation and chooses to change paths, I guess.
But make music.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about the careers of like Ice Cube and Dr. Dre and just the overall effect that NWA had, to be able to see it visually like that was really awesome.
Yeah, it was incredible.
It humanized all these people for us.
Oh, so they don't just run around killing people while they're not on an album? Oh, they're just normal dudes.
Oh, they have a life here.
Have a family. Holy crap. Isn't that interesting? Yeah.
Because to me, Dr. Dre's like this corporate machine for Apple now. And it's just, it was interesting to see him.
How he got there, kind of.
To this soulless point in his life.
People forgot about Dre.
Yeah, yeah.
Except at Apple, and they didn't forget
about him. They forgot about him. And, he, I mean,
they
incredible
Dre.
Talent. Incredible talent.
Johnny Ive rebuilt Dr. Dre. He's the new and improved Dr. Dre.
He just comes down in a tube with white light everywhere.
Forged in the fires of the sun, made out of pure aluminium. But I really thought overall this is a really great movie. I mean,
it had its faults as a movie.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, Ice Cube's son playing him looks exactly
holy
freaking like
crap!
Him.
It's like young Ice Cube again. It's
and
nuts.
It worked most of the time, but for me, a lot of his stuff, it felt like he was reading some lines. Yeah. Like I didn't believe him
when he was
some of the movie.
When he was actually acting, he was like trying to act like Ice Cube way too hard.
Yeah. Well, you know, he'd just seen his dad in all these ridiculous movies that he's done and wasn't really sure what to do.
Yeah.
You know, but we'll talk about Ice Cube.
That's a lot of pressure to be under.
Yeah, I mean, I knew that he had written like Friday, for instance, but you just sort of forget that guy is Ice Cube NWA.
This is what he came from.
It gets me though, because the scene where he's like writing the movie, he's like, and you got knocked out, and he's like typing with two fingers
on this really old looking laptop. Yeah. It was awesome.
Knew it was gold when he wrote it.
Yeah, he knew it was gold when he wrote it.
But
it was.
There were a lot of scenes in the movie that were supposed to be like dramatic and emotional, and the really emotional scenes they got right, like when Dre's brother gets killed.
Yeah, yeah.
I like that scene a lot with them all on the side of the road.
It was authentic.
When E was going downhill, like that was really hard to watch.
Yeah, they did a really good job of that, like of not just boom, Easy has AIDS.
Yeah, they kind of led up to it, but I felt like they did the super dramatic scenes like that really well, but there were some like just casually dramatic scenes that were just really hokey. Like when Dre's talking to his mom in the beginning, that feels forced.
She slaps the piss
She was impressive in that scene, but he was like, he could not get on her level of upset
and I think that's
anger and everything that was going on in that room.
That's
that
what
moment.
Caused that hokey feeling, though, because there was such a dissonance between the two.
Yeah.
And then there were some other dramatic scenes that were kind of like when E's talking to Paul Giamatti's character.
By the way, if you did not know that Paul Giamatti was in this film, like I somehow managed to not know, it's very startling.
Yeah, it is.
And he does a great job.
I thought. He's Paul Giamatti.
He's Paul Giamatti.
But, I like Paul Giamatti.
I like Paul Giamatti, too. Paul Giamatti's been in this town. He's a nice guy.
They should have gotten someone else to do that part.
But he's a shifty manager type.
He is a shifty manager type, but I always like see M. Night Shyamalan's Paul Giamatti.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like...
See, I don't know that one.
He's always goofy and always out there.
I don't know. Like, I just feel like you just know that he's just always a little rough around the edges, Paul Giamatti.
It's so startling when he shows up because it's like... Serious, good movie, serious. All these like kind of unknown guys. Little
real old
actors.
White guy, Paul Giamatti.
Yeah. And it goes from being like super serious movie to SNL sketch immediately in my brain.
Which sucks because like it's at a great point in the film, right?
Yeah, they're like just
like
starting
they're just
to
taking off.
Up. Yeah.
And boom, Paul Giamatti. You get Giamatti.
He's got the white hair and he's got all these colorful, bright clothes.
And he plays Eazy-E's manager and sort of business partner and Ruthless Records, I guess, really. And
basically he screws them over for the whole movie.
Yeah, he does.
Spoilers.
For this historical movie.
Yeah.
I don't think we have to spoiler.
I don't either
this.
Because it, I mean, it's like we all kind of said after we're sitting around talking, I mean, you know about this stuff,
but you don't know, like this gives the emotion.
This gives
to
the
it.
Emotion to it, you know, because
it's easy to read Eazy-E died of AIDS at 31. But like watching this actor like go through this.
Well, seeing that.
The guy that played Eazy-E.
God, he was great.
Fantastic. I don't know what his name is.
But seeing how.
But he was incredible.
Like seeing them dramatize that they were going to do NWA again.
Oh,
they were
my
so
God,
close to being NWA again. And then boom, he's gone. It just really was crazy.
Well, you only get one chance.
You got to wonder, like...
You only get one shot. Do not miss your chance to blow. It's
spaghetti.
Opportunity.
Spaghetti.
Do not miss your chance to blow in mom's spaghetti.
Mom's spaghetti. But it's like, so because you get pumped for it. You're
for
like...
For mom's spaghetti.
NWA, like, coming back, and then, like, you do know...
Yeah,
like,
but if you know anything about...
But you
the
know it's not going to be, even if you have no idea what's going to happen, you know it's not going to be like it was the first time.
And even if... Yeah, you do. You have that knowledge. And if you know what happens, you're like, oh, well, I already saw Tupac, so this is probably not
but
going.
You're also like, what could happen if they could have gotten back together? Like, you feel that.
They
like,
do a great...
And he has that line. It's like, what if we could be as big as... We can be.
Yeah.
Well, I think he said we left so many good records on the table.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I mean,
what would they have sounded like had they gotten back together?
Like we could take over the world.
Yeah.
Would we have had another hip hop renaissance come out of that? I mean,
I just think they would have extended the game.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, because at that time, Dr. Dre was, you know, arguably the biggest, you know, rap and hip hop star on the planet. And so is Ice Cube. I mean, it's not like he was, you know, Hollywood star at that point, you know, and
yeah, it's hard to like
fathom that
put him with his rap music because it's so different from what his film roles were.
And you probably knew about him before.
And he was a kid when all this was going on. How old was
he? They were teenagers when they started NWA.
Yeah, because he was on the school bus.
Yeah.
And that scene jarred me.
Me too, man.
The beginning of the movie.
Let's talk about that. So
the school bus scene.
So talk about it.
There's the scene, Ice Cube's on the school bus talking to some of his friends. And then they're driving along to wherever. I think they're going home for the day. And some of his classmates start throwing gang signs at these dudes in a car next to them.
From the opposing gang.
From a local gang. And the bus stops and the car like pulls in front of the bus. Guy like comes to the door of the bus with a gun and is like, hey, let me on. The bus driver's just like, okay.
I'm not going to say anything.
Bus driver's like,
I mean, what
are you
going to do?
Yeah.
No, get shot in the face.
But the guy like
straight out of Compton.
Open the door, get shot in the face.
Yeah. Guy strolls in and he like confronts the kid who's throwing the signs. Kid's like, I'm just playing. He's like, this isn't a game, kid. Like people really get killed out here. You should like forget the gang life.
But the way it was done,
it was really harsh.
It was like,
oh my God,
I could be the one to kill you one day.
For people.
So instead of being dumb, get yourself in a book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he gets off the bus and then they make that joke later that like Ice Cube comes in talking to Dre and he's like, I got on the bus with a gun and gave a motivational speech.
Gave a motivational speech and took off.
And everybody in the theater laughed at that.
It was so funny.
They were pretty good.
And it was just like an afterthought. Like he's like, oh yeah, this happened on the way home from school.
Guy with a
like
gun it was nothing.
Yeah. And in the same time frame, the same day, the same evening, almost the same scene. You know, he's leaving one residence, walking across the street to his house, and a cop stops him.
Yeah,
for no reason,
for zero reason.
Just throws now, who him knew the what was going on outside before he walked outside?
They said they were all clear.
Yeah,
like they must have just been like doing stuff in the street.
I will
and
say
the cops
this.
Rolled up.
I will say this. What this film really does really well is it really shows you an inside look into that area of California, into California in the late 80s, early 90s.
Oh, yeah.
And the way
it's
that
terrifying.
The police force treated black people.
It's terrifying.
Yeah. And not just white cops treating black people badly, but black cops treating black people badly.
Yeah.
Black people who look like those guys did, gangbangers, as they called them, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They showed actual footage, you know, they showed the Rodney King footage because it was relevant to
so
the story.
Yeah.
And one of the things I took from that was that it was interesting seeing them watching it and how they were portraying those you know, these people that we know reacting to that, but really shedding a light on why they felt like they needed to write a song called F the Police, you know, I mean, because they'd had enough, you know.
That scene in particular was done so well at the concert, like beforehand.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Beforehand, when they're like, "Do not play this song. Do not do this. Do not do that," and they get up on stage and then they do it, and then all hell breaks loose.
Oh my God!
And then they get arrested for nothing, and it's just that stirs the fire even more. And
they even talk
and
about,
then the, you have riots.
They talk about the song. They're like, our song wasn't meant to incite a riot. It was a warning. Basically you can't treat people like this and expect to get away with it.
How timely is this movie right now?
I mean, it's pretty pertinent to a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
that's
very topical.
On.
It's
There's a
lot of this stuff going on, and how transparent everything is now with social media. Like we know more now than we did back then. I mean, imagine if we'd had the capabilities of seeing things, how much more we would see.
That's a great point. You know, I mean, they do a good job showing that with, you know, showing the footage of the Rodney King footage,
all the news footage about the
news
trials.
Footage of the riots, the LA riots, which I'd forgotten about.
Oh man,
seeing it as a child, you know,
and their recreations of it, of them like driving through it.
Well,
like,
their recreations were very akin to a lot of the things that I had seen as a kid on the news.
Yeah,
and then they showed some of the actual clips. It was really crazy stuff.
Tom Brokaw's on there.
Yeah, Tom Brokaw when he was young. But overall, how do you feel about this movie?
Excellent.
Yeah, I like it.
Excellent.
It's definitely B plus, A minus area. Probably I'd give it a solid A.
It jarred me. I mean, it was funny. It's terrifying. It's real. I mean, it's just, it's in your face. There's no BS. It's just this is how it happened. This is what life was like. And it's masterfully done. It's shot really well.
How great was the soundtrack, Logan?
The soundtrack was amazing, even with the funk songs that they played.
Yeah,
it's not just hip hop.
It's not just NWA stuff. I mean, they go to the, they make a
There's
point.
There's Run DMC in there and stuff like that.
They make a point to sort of show you the music that influenced some of these guys, like Dre,
where it
especially.
Came from.
Yeah, and the soundtrack is freaking phenomenal. I mean, if you like hip hop at all, this is like your Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, seriously.
Really,
even if you don't like hip hop, this is a great story.
Yeah.
That's worth the money to go sit and watch it in a theater.
And the music, you know, helps
and
too.
And the music is great. And, you know, I put it on Facebook earlier. It was like parental discretion advised. There's a lot of language
and nudity.
But if you're going to watch a movie about NWA, you know what you're getting into. There's going to be violence. There's going to be language.
I think the only problems that I had with the movie is there's a little flopping in the acting sometimes.
These guys are brand new.
The writing is a little shallow in certain scenes, but otherwise, like,
it makes up for it.
Yeah, it really does.
Yeah,
there's enough of it to, I mean, you can overlook that.
I think I realize,
still feel good about it as a whole.
I think I realize my problems with the Ice Cube actor.
Mm-hmm.
He's totally different like in the beginning than he is at the end. Because at the end, he's trying to be Friday Ice Cube.
Yeah. And he's trying to be his dad.
Yeah. It's just really weird. Because in the beginning, he's like, you know, kind of his own young.
Because, you know, I mean, a lot of us weren't really
aware of hardcore. Like,
Yeah. I can't imagine how tough that was for him, but how awesome it was for him, too.
Seriously.
You know, like, he got to go back and relive that stuff that he heard his dad talk about, that, you know, he probably has known about all his life. But he actually got to go back and experience it for himself in his dad's shoes. That's just freaking awesome.
I mean, you got to consider, like, how many people, like, even just sit down with their dad and are like, hey, tell me about your life from teenager onward. It's like, no one really does that, and he got to live that.
That's
like,
awesome.
Redo it. Yeah.
That's really, really awesome. I'm going to say go out this weekend and see Straight Outta Compton if you didn't do it last weekend when
definitely
the movie came out.
Definitely a theater movie.
It is. I mean, I think that you'll be fine getting it on Blu-ray, but it's a theater film.
For the sound alone. It's popping.
I don't think I could watch it at home because I wouldn't want to be distracted during it. It's like, it's... You just want to watch it. I mean,
yeah, that's true.
Who directed it?
A new guy. Nobody had ever heard of.
This is really good for a lot of like young.
I'm telling you, man, the talent was really great in this film. I'm telling you to go see it right now. We're going to give it our jug seal of approval. So
five stars.
Well, we give it a five star. We really want you to go see it. So if you hadn't gotten a chance to pick it up yet, definitely go see it. Also, if you haven't heard episode 177 of the podcast, go over to justicegeeks.com and do so. Facebook.com/justicegeeks and Twitter @justicegeeks. Do that. And
you can't touch this.
Go from NWA to this.
I was going
to
say, in our 90s rap talk, we didn't really talk about MC Hammer.
I mentioned it.
And Vanilla Ice. Go Ninja,
they
go Ninja, go.
They kind of go hand in hand in my head.
Me too. Like, it's almost as if they're the same person.
Lord, thank you for blessing me with a mind to rhyme and to hype me.
That's about
this
all
is
that.
More on, like, the pop side of 90s such,
and this
hip-hop.
Is a beat. Oh,
you can't touch. Was this before or after he stole the Queen song?
The wrong guy. Can't touch this.
Do you sing this in your car by yourself?
Yes, I do.
Really?
Yeah.
Why didn't you do this at karaoke?
Wasn't this a Rick James beat?
Superfly or something, I think. Maybe so.
Super Freak.
Yeah.
Super freak. See, they just everybody just rips each other off.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Can't touch this.
Huh? I never thought about that.
I think it's Rick James.
I think it is Rick James.
Fact check me on that.
No.
Maybe after the show.
Touch this. Song.
My favorite part is the bridge.
I'm doing now.
I'm down. Do you know every word
to this? You should have did Gangster's Paradise.
Thought about it.
Oh. I won a Grammy in 96.
It's all downhill from there, buddy. He's got a cookbook now.
Well, I got a Grammy.
I'm
done.
I know people with Grammys.
I'm out, guys.
Yeah.
Rev DMC.
It is now Rev DMC. Anytime I hear this song, I always think about that Family Guy episode where Peter's
diplomatic immunity.
Yeah.
Yep.
Every time
I think about those pants.
Peter time. What those pants?
Those pants.
Did you have hammer pants?
I had.
Did you have jams?
I had windbreaker pants, and they were close to.
They weren't hammer pants.
They were not hammer pants, though. They were
just for a minute. Let's
all do the bump.
You know, we all had wind suits at one point in our lives, right?
Yeah, because I can hear people running in wind suits now.
They're terrible. It's a terrible
you
idea.
You can't sneak up at anybody.
You can't do anything in a wind suit.
No, and those people that wore them in the Ninja Turtles movie, I knew it was crap.
Yeah.
Can't have foot soldiers in wind suits.
No. Get out of here.
We're sneaking up on them.
Shut the front door.
Even the turtles could have figured that out.
Hammer time. MC Hammer.
He was horrible. You know, he blew through a lot of money.
What was that commercial they had a few years back where he's like doing the hammer dance out front of the mansion, then it's like 2 weeks later and he's sitting on the step and they're moving him out?
Oh, that happened to MC Hammer in real life.
Can't touch this.
He was not responsible with his money like Dre was.
No.
He probably got screwed over by a
rich old a white
shifty manager.
Paul Giamatti.
Shifty old Paul Giamatti.
Paul Giamatti screwed me!
What if it was?
Paul Giamatti.
What if they had the same...
Paul Giamatti was the
Paul
manager.
Giamatti ruined MC Hammer.
And then launched his own acting career.
Yes.
Let's start that rumor on the internet.
Yes.
Paul Giamatti ruined
him. He's been systematically dismantling rappers since the late 80s.
I wonder what happened. This. I wonder what happened that making he dismantled records, somebody that he got that rhino job in Superman and Spider-Man that we'll never see.
I didn't catch that. Hammer,
he was rhino? Hammer.
In that last Spider-Man movie.
I didn't see it.
For about 2 seconds. Amazing Spider-Man.